internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I'm still very disappointed in Weezer's Ratitude album.
You gotta listen to it with an open mind.
I tried.
And I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. I didn't think of anything funny or interesting to say, so that'll just show you a little bit about me.
He's disappointed in my disappointment over the Ratitude album.
What we're doing is we're playing our way through IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo Games and musing about our experiences here on this very show. In this episode, we're talking about IGN's 95th ranked game, Top Gear 2.
That's just a preview of how I felt this week.
You look like Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat's nicer than I am about this game. Before we get into this glowing 45 minutes to an hour of positivity that I'm going to spew forth, what have you been playing this week?
I've actually been playing a lot more than normal. A lot of that's because you and I played some La Mulana together, and hopefully I'm not stealing what you're going to talk about.
Nope.
So did some of that, and also finished Cave Story, which I strongly recommend anyone out there who still hasn't played it, please play it. If you listen to the show and you enjoy us talking about games, you'll probably enjoy Cave Story. It's in the same vein as all these old Super Nintendo games. It's kind of Castlevania, Metroid style, which is interesting because La Mulana is very much in that style as well.
Yes.
But Cave Story is a little more, has a few more RPG elements to it than
And more user-friendly than La Mulana.
Yeah, it's a little more user-friendly. So I finished Cave Story, picked up and finished the new Super Mario Brothers for the DS.
Oh,
so
okay.
I had never played it. I think that came out like 6 years ago.
So that's okay.
So that qualifies as an old game, I think. I really liked it. I mean, it's a Mario game. It's kind of what I expected, but, you know, it was fun for the amount of time I put in. But that's about it. How about you? What have you been up playing?
I played, of course, La Mulana, which that's good. I mean, I guess we'll talk more about it later. It is hard. Yep. It is a hard game.
We are planning on doing a special episode on La Mulana, right? Is that still?
No, we're still going to do that.
Along with the 50 other games we said we're going to do a special episode. But we're serious about La Mulana.
This one is in the works. I played a lot more Professor Layton this week.
Yeah.
That was my wind down game just about every night this week at bed, which I don't know if I'm getting smarter over the years because I've been playing the Layton games for a few years now. Either they're getting easier with each subsequent release or they're making me smarter.
Which Layton is this?
The one I'm on now is
The Case of the Curious Gumdrop.
It's the last one for the DS.
Okay.
It's the prequel game.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. All the titles kind of blend in for me. Last Spectre.
Okay.
And then, because I like talking about it, this is a gaming podcast, but I also like to talk about what I'm listening to.
Okay, yeah.
Which actually, I was talking about The Last Book of the Wheel of Time last week. My wife finally got down to sit down and finishing it. She might have finished it tonight. I know she got to the point that made me cry. And she sat there stone-faced, kept reading. Clearly, I am just much more emotionally in touch than my wife is.
Yeah.
And she can lay in bed and read with her heart of stone, and that's fine. She should just know.
Did you keep bothering her? Like, are you at the part yet?
When I got home from grocery shopping for tomorrow's Super Bowl party, I walked in.
To everyone listening, that's 2 weeks ago. Yeah, Super Bowl party.
So go your affiliated team. I'm glad they won.
Yay, sports.
I couldn't tell you who's playing tomorrow. I don't know. I'm hosting a party for it.
I can tell you, but it's only because of marketing.
That's fair. Like, I walked in, walked back to the bedroom where she was reading on her Kindle. I was like, read out loud to me where you are. She did, and I knew it was coming. So I was like, walk back in the living room.
Just sit there and look at her.
I ate my sandwich and then walked back there to sit there and watch for her reaction. And she's just sitting there reading. No tear stains, nothing. She was fine. That's what she's been listening to, and I'm almost done with the second book in the First Law trilogy.
Law?
By Joe Abercrombie.
I've heard him mentioned in the fantasy subreddit.
Yeah. I think he does a lot of AMAs. He's really involved with the community. The first book.
It's his first book without Fitch, right?
His first. He has broken away from Fitch and all the smells and the dark shopping corridors. But the second one in the series, Before They Are Hanged, which the first book is kind of a slog. he's setting up a lot of characters, and he does really well. So it gets good at the end,
yeah.
But it's a slog in the first 3/4 of it. But then this book is great. I recommend the second book to anyone who can get through the first book.
I haven't read anything. I have nothing to submit for the what you've read this week segment.
Well, I can imagine if I had to sit down and spend my time to read, but since I listen to audiobooks and do everything else in my life, that's how I'm able to get through books as quickly as I do.
You mean you're not listening to back episodes of Tadpog nonstop?
No, yes. In between chapters. Right. In between chapters.
Right. So you're liking Professor Layton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited to see the Professor Layton Phoenix Wright crossover game when that comes out.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that to me.
Oh, my God.
I need to get on it and play some Professor Layton. I've always heard great things about it from
Professor
you.
Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, and Phoenix Wright, because I haven't done that either. I
mean, so whenever you retire, have all this time to play all these games.
Right. I've played as Phoenix Wright in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, so that counts. I have
played Phoenix Wright. That's true. You've played a Phoenix Wright game.
I guess if that's it on what we're playing, I guess we can move on to Top Gear 2.
See, wish I had more shit to say before we move on to this.
I wish everyone listening could see your face.
Let's go very happy, Tyler.
Like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, what we played this week is a game called Top Gear 2. Just a little bit of info about it. It was developed by Gremlin Interactive and published by Kimco for the Super Nintendo in 1993. It's a racing game with the camera that's positioned behind the car. And it's a sequel to Top Gear, which came out in 1992, I believe. There are 64 tracks spread out across 16 countries, and you race on all these different tracks. And depending on how you do, you win money, and you can use that money to upgrade your car. So it's kind of one of those racing games. Tyler, I'll let you kick this off, because I can see you're really super excited about this game.
Well, because I've said in previous podcast that racing games were not my forte. That's my weak point. My born, raised in Kentucky, you would think like racing games should be in my blood.
Yeah,
like
I should probably be second nature.
Koreans have StarCraft, Kentucky with racing, like basketball. I'm not even like a sports guy, but basketball made it through, you know, the
your tough exterior.
Yeah. I don't like anything else pretty much but Kentucky basketball.
Two things make you cry. Wheel of Time, basketball.
Basketball. Wheel of Time and Rick Pitino leaving over the Celtics and then coming back to Louisville. Oh, okay. That's about as sports nerdy as I'm going to get.
That's pretty good. But the racing didn't make it through to you.
Yes, that I am missing that genetic marker for racing.
Now, I remember you mentioning that in our Uniracers episode, because that was another game that I don't think you were too thrilled about.
Uniracers is the face of God compared to Top Gear 2.
Wow.
I have tried to beat this affliction. Like, I don't think I don't play racing games. Yeah, yeah. I've played plenty of racing games. I'm horrible at every one of them. It's just not really in me. Maybe the best I've ever done is F-Zero, which F-Zero was a launch game for the Super Nintendo.
As far as I know, yeah.
This game came out 3 years later, and it seems like F-Zero has beat this game in every category. It looks like Top Gear 2 could have been for the NES.
I don't think so.
I think the graphics look so poor and blocky.
I think that's a stretch.
Every car looks the same. The only difference is color.
Every car does look the same. The difference is color. But you couldn't have pulled off all those backgrounds in the Nintendo.
They didn't have the theater, the Sydney, Australian theater.
The Opera House.
At least like, okay, in a Mario Kart game,
yeah,
you shoot shit. All right, great. Need for Speed, someone's chasing you, someone's yelling at you.
I could have yelled at you while we played.
I would have liked that better. But this game just felt like a frustrating version of like bumper cars, because I'm constantly bumping into stuff and just rebounding off it, and you slow down.
You do slow down when you hit things.
And it doesn't like, there's no like, your car doesn't change, there's not smoke. I feel like there should be something there than you having to realize, oh, I can't go as fast now.
And by smoke, you mean the cybernetic ninja?
If smoke had just come down up here and pointed at me, you are going slower now.
Smoke hops out and yells at you, and that would have made all the difference in the world.
Maybe if you're more of just like a pure car fanatic, I have to admit that I'm sure I'm biased, you know, not being a car guy, that it was hard for me to get into this game at all.
I was surprised because, first of all, before I go on with this point, I think all the listeners are wondering why we haven't done our Mondo spot yet. Mondo pulled their sponsorship from the show. So And by that, we mean that the food giant down the street was closed. So we're very sorry. But keep in mind that we'll truck on without Mondo. We'll be just fine. We're not going anywhere. So that being said,
we'll talk to them and try and manage our own time better.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
But you worry.
Back to Top Gear 2. I was concerned that it was going to be more of like a simulation racing game, because the first thing I saw when you start the game and get into a race, is they ask you, you know, what your loadout is, you know, what engine you're using, what gearbox you're using, et cetera, et cetera. So I was really worried that it was going to be one of those where you have to like go through mechanical stats and specs and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was pleased to find out that it's really kind of arbitrary. The more expensive something is, the better it is. Like, that's all you have to worry about. Like, if you're comparing engines, the $10,000 engine is better than the $2,000 engine. Like, that's all there is to it. So which
I can appreciate that.
I really like that, because I can just, okay, this one's better than this one. I can just look at it at a glance, buy the better one, and get on with the race. I agree with you that it doesn't look great. I think saying it looked like a Nintendo game is really a stretch.
I have better graphic memories of Road Rash on my Game Gear than I did saying that I'm playing this game.
I'm glad you brought up Road Rash.
Your TV, you have a very nice TV. Your TV made it look nice, but I can't imagine. Like, when this came out on a low-def TV with the knobs on the side, like, I can't imagine this game would have been anything impressive.
I think it would be distinguishable, though, from the prior generation. I really do.
This and Ghostbusters side by side, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know which one is which. I don't know.
I mean, I think they really did some nice stuff with the backgrounds. And with there being so many different locations, there's definitely an attention to detail there. You go to different countries, you can tell that they really put effort into making each track look different. You don't get bored. You're racing in Egypt, you see the pyramids of Giza, as opposed to just, you know, blanket sand. I will agree with you that F-Zero is a better racing game. It looks better. It's definitely more fun, at least for me. And we will get to F-Zero. I know it's an IGN's list. I think it's close to the bottom.
F-Zero is probably the closest thing to enjoyment I've ever gotten from a racing game.
Yeah.
I also feel like maybe I'm just used to that kind of like variety and like choosing different racers and different cars that have different acceleration rates. This was all, everything's the same car. It's just kind of bland.
Yeah, I get that. I like some variety too, but I think there's something really nice about being like, look, this is how it is. Everyone's the same, so guess what? It's all based on your skill. Go out there and good luck.
And that's where I fail. It's clearly like you get the money to buy the better stuff for your car and your car performs better.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a catch-22 for me, because if you want to get the better stuff to do better, you have to place high to get the money in the first place.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's just so unavoidable.
I would just like, 10th place, no money. 10th place, no money.
Yeah.
I saw the weather effects.
Yeah.
I guess they all had the same effect on me, which was just not do well. Would the weather effects have that much of an impact besides they make you not see as well? Was fog different from night?
Yeah, fog was different from night. I mean, at night, at least you could see brake lights up ahead of you, tail lights. In fog, you really only have, I don't know, 20 feet of visibility. Fog is definitely the hardest, without a doubt. And then I'd say nighttime driving.
So they shouldn't even have the race for safety concerns in the fog. That's just irresponsible for the people putting on this Top Gear race.
Yeah, it's Shao Kahn's racing tournament. Marriage Rapture was a bust. So
we're gonna have races in the fog to destroy the earth.
I think the weather effects really, I thought they were nice. There's rain, there's snow. I can tell that they act different as well. I honestly wish there were more weather effects, because I thought they were kind of nice and broke things up.
It's a little more variety to them.
Yeah. And I mean, the tracks themselves aren't super elaborate. They're more like realistic racing tracks. So, I mean, you've got a few really tight curves and that kind of thing, but nothing crazy is going on. If you have a track memorized, you know, having weather effects or something like that to break it up can be really nice.
I noticed whenever we got to put in your name for your racers,
right?
You can actually use any curse words you want in this one,
yep,
as opposed to Uniracers.
Right.
Everything's cool enough for Top Gear too. So,
well, you know, Gremlins Interactive, that's how they roll.
That's one thumbs up I give in their point. Thanks for letting Bitch be my racing name.
Yeah, that's true. They're not censoring us or anything like that. It's a pretty straightforward racing game. Besides the weather effects and everything that we've pretty much already talked about, there isn't a whole lot about this game that is beyond the norm. I am glad that it's on IGN's list because I never would have heard of this game, which would have been a great thing for you. But I actually...
Yeah, I would love not have extra shit on my mind.
I actually really enjoyed this game. I thought it was fun. I had a lot of fun with it. It was a nice way to kill some time.
The music, I will actually give points to the music. Mm-hmm. It was very catchy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind hearing it mashed up and remixed with other gaming music or current music. Cursing for a username and catchy tunes. Thanks, so, Top Gear 2.
2 points in your corner.
Yeah.
I like the music too. I had the same complaint that I had about the music in Uniracers, and that is there's like 3 or 4 tracks, music tracks, that they just randomly play for the courses. So while I did like the music, I wish there was more of it, more variety there.
So I think I feel like I have a long temper. It takes me a while to get to the point where I like scream and fly into a barbarian rage. It can happen, but it's a long fuse. Unless you're one of my friends that's drunk, stumbling around, breaking my furniture, long fuse.
Right.
But it was just playing the game. I didn't scream, but I felt like I was kind of in silent, stewing rage the whole time I was playing. Just when a car would pass me, if I didn't have any nitro, I was not catching back up.
Yeah, and I think that in the beginning of a race, it's really difficult because it's like you said, it is like bumper cars because everyone is, it's a cluster. And it's very difficult to break away from the pack and at least get into placing position. The downside of that is there's this really cool mechanic where you can damage your car. When you hit a car in front of you, you damage the front of your car. When you hit something on the sides, you damage the sides. And when someone hits you from the back, it damages the rear of your car. There's this little diagram on the screen and the heads-up display that will show you what parts of your car are damaged. The more parts of your car that are damaged, the slower your top speed's going to be. So it is really, really frustrating, especially in the beginning of the race, when you hit somebody or they hit you multiple times, and all of a sudden, like right off the top, it's like your top speed is really low. Mm. So I hope you save up all your nitros, because otherwise, you're not going to qualify.
Do you know, like, if you hit someone else, will that car start going slower? Will you have to worry about that car? Can you you play strategically and know, like, the car that was in first place at the start of the race, I need to bump into that guy, bring down his speed?
I don't know, but what I do know is it's very frustrating when you're going along and you accidentally bump someone, you rear end somebody, and then you see them just rocket ahead.
Yep.
Because like you just push them, and it's like all your momentum, like you're slow now, but they are just super fast.
Laws of inertia, laws of friction, let's throw them out the window. Boom.
Yeah. So that's frustrating. I don't know if you can actually sabotage someone. That's an interesting experiment that maybe we should try.
I'll play this game long enough outside of having to review it to do that, and that'll be it. Then I will be done with this game forevermore.
You could play it like I did. I painted my car black, and half the time I was pretending I was Knight Rider, and half the time I was pretending I was in the Batmobile, hanging out, talking to Mr. Feeny.
Yeah.
Yeah? You know he was the voice of Kit, right?
That's nice. I didn't know that.
I'll lay something else on the listeners. I know you know this, but Uncle Phil is the voice of Shredder on the Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Nice. Matt, you made my eyes go wide. Like, oh.
So there's a little trivia I got for you.
You enjoyed the game, but I don't see why this game is, what, 95? I don't see why I had more fun with the games I feel are more unique that were below it. I don't know why. I guess maybe this was just like they wanted to put a racing game in. Like they felt like a racing game deserves to be a little higher. If there are fewer good racing games, so let's put one a little higher to get to the list. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's kind of difficult for me to completely see your viewpoint because I enjoyed the game. I have played other games that were higher in the list that I've enjoyed more, so I can see that. But like I said earlier, I was pretty thankful that it was on here because this is a game that was completely off my radar and isn't a whole lot of information out there about this game. When I tried to do some research, I mean, it was Wikipedia or a bust. So I'm like a true journalist. You hear that, you journalists out there?
True journalists.
I'm on to you. I know your Wikipedia tricks.
I'm just Now you probably think of that watching E! News the other day, because my wife loves E! News. There was some E! Reporter interviewing like the some NFL cheerleading team. And they're like, asked her, it's like, hey, do you want to join us, be a cheerleader? She's like, no, I think I'll stick to, you know, journalism. Yeah, really, e-correspondent, journalism? Yeah, you are journalist.
Hard-hitting. You want to call her out? You're saying she's about as big as a journalist as we are?
Yeah, yes. Girl who, e-reporter who interviewed those cheerleaders. You know who you are listening to Tadpods.
So now we're on e-news's hit list, also Yuki's mama's hit list. Great. There's not a lot to say about this fucking game.
The people who made them, the Gremlin Company.
Yeah.
Are they ready? Are they manufacturing gremlins with electricity and female goblins? Or what are they doing now? Just
feed them after midnight. You ready for some trivia?
Yeah.
Everyone out there has just been itching. They're like, no, can't wait to find out what happened to Gremlin. Do you have any ideas, Tyler, what happened to Gremlin?
I can't think of another. I try to remember whenever I would, you know, watch the opening scenes and when they've showed the companies who made it. I don't remember ever seeing Gremlins in any other game I've ever played. Mm-hmm. So
Gremlin Interact.
I'm going to guess that they became Ape Studios.
Ape Studios?
Ape.
I'm unfamiliar with Ape.
I know they had a hand in Earthbound.
Okay.
That's the last I've heard of Ape. I think they disbanded shortly after.
So this game that you hate so much, you think the developers are partly responsible for a game that you love so much?
I just wanted to bring up Earthbound.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. No, it's close. Kind of. They were absorbed by Infogrames in 1999.
And what do they do?
Well, they were, I believe, a subsidiary of Atari, which Atari, in the news recently,
just
I'm sure
went
you read,
bankrupt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Filed for bankruptcy. So, not looking so good for Gremlin. They are best known for titles like Wanted Monty Mole.
Okay. So. And that Monty Mole is the mole from Super Mario World.
Is it?
For Super Nintendo. That's the name of the small mole.
Yeah, with the shades, right?
Yep.
So I don't know, because this was Wanted, Monty Mole was a game for the Amiga in the 80s. So I'm curious.
This is a precursor for Mario.
Yeah, we need to see.
Miyamoto was like, we must bring back Monty Mole.
Gotta have that mole. Gotta have that mole. What's your price, Gremlin? Come off that mole. But something else that's interesting, we mentioned the Uniracers episode earlier and your distaste for racing games. Gremlin actually acquired DMA Designs, the makers of Uniracers, in 1996. So in between the time that DMA was their own company, their own studio, and in between that and them being part of Rockstar, they were owned by Gremlin Interactive.
Okay.
So there you go.
So there's kind of a circle-ish,
yes,
rhombus-esque.
If I've learned anything from doing this podcast, it's that the game industry is incestuous. One studio's their own, and then all of a sudden they're not, and they're mixed, and then, oh, they're a different company now, and it's all over the place.
Daddy EA comes in with a belt and just spanks them and eats them up, that's right.
What about Kimco? Kimco is the publisher for this game. What do you think they're up to?
I would wager a company like Kimco was originally responsible for the Plinko game on The Price is Right, and now they develop games for kids' competition shows that were shown in the mid-90s.
Not very close.
Okay.
Not very close.
That's fair.
I was actually kind of hoping you would guess that they were no longer around, because that's what I would have thought.
I'm never going to guess that for anybody.
Because I have never heard of Kimco. Never. Actually, I was laughing when we turned Top Gear 2 on. I was like, Gremlin and Kimco? What are we about to play? What have we opened? Kimco's still around. They're a Japanese game developer. They haven't been bought by anybody. They're just doing their own thing, publishing their own games.
Okay. All right.
Any idea what they're best known for?
Final Fight Guy.
Top Gear 2.
whoa, poor people.
Yeah, they're best known for the Top Gear series.
So it's not that they're steadfast and not selling out to the man. No one wants to buy this company.
I like to think that they are just run by one guy. Like, that's the best scenario, where it's like they just call up and they're like, hey, can you make a game? And he's like, yeah, let me finish lunch and I'll get on that, you know?
And he sends them Top Gear 2 again.
Right. Man, this is so... It just gets better.
I added a fuchsia car.
Got anything else, bro?
Racing games in general. I feel like this Top Gear 2 is the base for what a racing game is. The characteristics of a racing game, this is the bare minimum. And everything else is just adding on another layer that can only improve the gameplay.
You're not a racing purist.
No. Let's pile on bells and whistles and whatever to distract me from the fact I'm just driving in circles.
Because there are some people who just really enjoy pure racing.
I guess, is Gran Turismo, is that pure racing? Because that's
Gran Torino. Remember we covered this.
Grand.
You know, the famous Clint Eastwood racing game. But yeah, I completely derailed you. You were asking something about Gran Torino.
Now I'm just thinking about the dissatisfied Clint Eastwood face that you see on Reddit every time somebody makes a post that you don't enjoy. Him shaking his head, making the bitter...
You know he listens to the show, right?
Yeah, of course I knew that.
So
him and that e-correspondent, they just sit down like, you want to listen to all the new podcasts on gaming and hobbies? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do this.
Bring it on. I hear you're mentioned. Even better.
Then after that, we can go through all the high school papers and circle stories to call people out on them.
So what was your point about Gran Turismo before I completely took this conversation in a different direction?
Because I played a little bit of a few Gran Turismos, mm-hmm. but it seemed like it was sort of this same base, but expounded upon a lot. Like, it's more of you're racing, but it's intensely focused on customization.
And realism. I think Gran Turismo is really where you get into the kind of racing game that I don't enjoy so much, where it feels like more of a simulation than a game.
Yeah.
I kind of like how they handle it in Top Gear 2 because it's still arcade style. Like, you can upgrade your car, but you don't really have to think about it that much. It's mainly about the racing. And I can see your point where if the racing in itself isn't super interesting, then you're not going to like this game very much.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't enjoy racing at its core, you're definitely not going to like this game.
Yeah, and then what you say about simulation, I drive enough as it is, much less to play a simulation. I'm not good at real life driving. By the time I was 19, I was on car number 6. So it's not...
How many times was it your fault, though?
I've never had a wreck with another car. Only with inanimate objects have I ever had collisions.
So 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
My first wreck was trying to go around a curve and jump. My first car was a 96 Isuzu Rodeo.
Strangely enough, that's not in Top Gear 2.
Not in Top Gear 2.
What the hell? What gives? Gremlin?
I didn't drink or anything in high school, so what were we going to do besides be idiots in cars?
Besides wreck cars.
Right. That's all we had to do. So back road, I would go. I got up to 95 cutting around this corner and jumping this hill to fly through the air. And then that's when I was like, I've got to get 100. I just got to get 100. That was the limit. That's whenever I hit that curb right before the hill.
100.
Trying to get 100 miles per hour? I hit it going 95 and was just fine. It was trying to go 100. And that's whenever I slid out of control and rolled my SUV.
Was this Redneck Mountain Adventure?
No. Okay. No, it was Dump Hill where the local landfill is located.
So your SUV didn't have very far to go.
Nope.
Like, the cops just show up. They're like, yeah, just put it in the pile.
It was the night the Game Boy Advance came out because we had left to go buy the Game Boy Advance. And then on the way back, this is what we did. So I flipped my SUV and, okay, here's the thing. It was like, there were about 15 of us. Maybe not 15, maybe 10 of us. Way more they can safely fit in my car. We were all crammed in my car. So in order to hit the 100-mile mark, I made everyone get out of my car and wait at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, so you killed 3 people.
Everybody was waiting in the dark, like the sun was about to come up. They could see my headlights coming up, and then I just didn't come back down the hill.
Oh.
What just happened? And they see me, because I was pretty heavy in high school. They just see me running down the hill with my car, you know, somewhere behind me. So they come back up. And
so obviously you were completely uninjured.
Yeah.
If you were able to run afterwards.
I had skinned up my arm from where the side of my car hit.
Yeah.
And like it scraped down the road. But otherwise I was fine. I didn't even turn off my car, which was really stupid. I just held up the door and crawled out and ran down the hill. And then they all ran up and they took all of us to get underneath my car and flip it back up, hoping I could drive this total SUV home.
That didn't happen, right?
Nope. One of the neighbors, of course, they see this wreck and call the cops. So the cops come and call my dad, who comes out there at 5 in the morning. What happened here? Swerved and missed a deer.
The tires were too tall, Dad.
I told you to put these tall tires on my car. I didn't know. I had no idea how fast I was going because of these tall tires.
I mean, the speedometer said 100, but I just figured I was going 50.
I mean, you said we didn't know how fast I was going, so I figured if I go faster then.
So you told him you swerved to avoid a deer? I told him I
swerved and missed a deer. And like, how fast were you going to swerve and miss a deer? Look at all, like, these huge tire tracks all over the road. My dad's pretty good about knowing when I'm lying, and he just looked at me, and he drove his truck up there and towed my SUV home.
So if he's listening to this episode, he's finding out the truth.
My dad and I have had that, I don't live with you anymore, let's talk about all the stupid shit I did, candidly.
So is he good at racing games?
What he's played, dad can play racing games. I mean,
should have brought him over for Top Gear too.
You would think, because my dad's a car guy, because
mm-hmm.
he did mechanic and body work on cars. He's a car guy, my brother's a car guy. I've been around cars, and my brother loves racing games. None of this soaked through into me whatsoever.
I'm indifferent on racing games, man. I think in our Uniracers episode, I say that I don't normally like racing games, which I don't normally play racing games. I'll put it that way. I don't go out and seek racing games to play, but I always stumble upon racing games and end up playing the hell out of them. Moto Racer was a go-to of mine when I was in high school, old PC game. I think is on Good Old Games. I need to buy it.
Mm.
That was a really fun racing game where you race motorcycles. But I seem to always just stumble upon, like, Top Gear. I beat Top Gear. I just played it today until I finished it. And I'll probably play it on the next difficulty just because it's there.
That's one thing I always applaud you on, because you're very good about seeing that challenge, going to the next difficulty, surmounting the challenge.
I mean, to a certain point, I'm probably not going to finish the game. I'm not going to finish Top Gear 2 on its highest difficulty, yeah, just because there's too much
all
stuff
to play. All the tracks on its highest difficulty?
I know, man. Oh, it's so tempting. All right, guys. I think we've talked enough about Top Gear 2, or not talked enough about Top Gear 2. One way or the other, we did a little bit of talking. But before we wrap things up, Tyler, I've got an important question for you. I'm a little afraid to ask. But, Tyler, how many beers and glasses would you give this game?
I'm gonna drag this barrel out, and I'm gonna try to reach way down here to the barrel and just pull out the bottom.
I thought you're gonna bend. What are you gonna bend Top Gear over the barrel?
I'm gonna pull out my deliverance barrel here.
I had no idea where you were going.
No, it's the bottom of the barrel joke. I could have been clear.
Tad Pog, video games and barrel jokes.
All right, beards. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give this one blonde pedophile mustache glistening with sweat.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's the glistening with sweat that really drove that imagery home for you.
It really is. But the white panel van isn't one of the cars you can choose in Top Gear 2.
I would have been behind it. A little creativity might have made it a one black pedophile mustache glistening with sweat.
Every time you hit an obstacle, a kid flies out of the back.
See, again, a little bit of that for me.
I don't know why we're not game developers. I really don't.
Well, I tried to be. I know why I'm not. So, and then glasses.
Yeah, how many glasses would you give it?
One pair of glasses broken by a Red Ryder BB gun on Christmas Day.
All right.
Just that sinking feeling of, oh, shit. That's my glasses review.
Like, oh, I have to tell somebody about this, meaning the listeners.
Yeah, I have to actually talk to somebody about this.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't like the game. At least one of us did. My recommendation would be, anyone listening, if you like racing games, play this game. If you don't like racing games, don't play this game. Yeah. if you're more of a racing purist, give it a try. If you need some bells and whistles, probably go to F-Zero, Mario Kart, something like that.
Play Uniracers.
Uniracers, right. Yeah.
I mean, I guess we've got some shout-outs to give to some dedicated fans.
Some people have been nice to us?
Some people have been nice to us.
All right.
Hopefully after this episode, they'll continue to be nice to us.
Yeah, really.
First one goes out to Matt Barger. Shared us on Facebook and gave us a very kind, very much appreciated iTunes review.
Yes, thank you, Matt. That was awesome of you.
A very special shout-out to Nikki Moore for editing our Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 episode.
Yep.
And I feel she did a very good job.
Yep, I think she did good.
Our friend, the Dirtiest D, David Dykus, sharing us on Facebook. Still reigning number one superfan, Dennis Robinson.
Yep.
Sharing us on Facebook. Our dear friend, Jess Dockery on Silk Street Post. Always, as soon as we have an episode, she's throwing up there, plugging us to all her readers.
Yep.
Very enthusiastically.
When we drop on Wednesday, I always see a link that they've got us on there.
She's on top of it. She's a fan.
That's SookStreetPost.com.
Jacob York, who tweets about the show.
Yeah.
Even the ones he's not on.
Even after you fired him.
Yeah, even after that guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Megs 246.
Yeah.
Which Megs 246 is my wife.
Oh.
Complained about her on previous episodes, not doing anything. She got up, gave us a good iTunes review, which I'm happy.
She's stepping up.
I have a story about Megs 246.
A lot of people like the pillow, by the way, from last episode.
Here's another driving story about me. Everywhere I go, I generally, even when I go to someone's house, I have a pillow in my lap.
Right.
Especially when I drive, I always have my driving pillow.
Right, of course.
There's people can always tell which car is mine
because it has the pillow in it.
Because as soon as I'm done, I put it in the dash in front of me.
Yep. So Meg's 246.
Okay, Meg's 246 is her given handle on anything that she has the option of.
Okay.
A few months ago, she got curious about, I wonder if anybody else has Meg's 246.
Oh boy, that never ends well.
She found another Meg's 246. You should probably Google Meg's 246 and hone in on this woman because she's got good stuff out there.
Do I need to include anything in the show notes?
No.
Okay.
Meg's 246 is the handle for a middle-aged high school teacher who writes a lot of NCIS fan fiction.
Oh my God! How can this not go in the show notes? What are you talking about?
We can put a link to all her NCIS fan fiction.
She's gonna see all this traffic come in for her fanfic, and this is gonna make this lady's day.
That's true. She's gonna be very happy. Although her fan fiction is different because all the people who are lovers, she doesn't like that. So instead, they're all family. They're a big crime investigating family.
This is awesome.
So please go out, read the NCIS fan fiction of Megs 246.
Yeah, this link
the one that is not my wife.
Please go to tadpog.com. There will be a link to Megs 246 fanfic. And we're going to make this lady's year. She is going to see all this traffic and she is going to be delighted.
And then we need to give the Tadpog community strong supporters. Number two, well, maybe number three super fan, Blake Woods.
Whoa.
He said, I think I'm going to give I'm going to give Micah Perdue number two superfan spot over Blake Woods.
Okay. I mean, he's posting comments every week. I know Micah has as well.
Let's put them tied. They all are right. tied for number two superfan.
Okay.
Blake Woods and Micah Perdue.
I'm trying to help you out, Blake. Trying to help you out.
See, clearly Dave loves you more than I do, Blake Woods. And then another shout out to longtime friend, cool guy MJ Link.
Yeah, MJ Link.
He's a cousin of a guy, a friend in college. Everybody loves MJ Link. Just give him a special shout out. Tell him to come around. Hopefully he'll come in one day and guest host.
Mm-hmm. Stop standing those ladies up. It's time to record on Tadpog and settle down.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find our show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode. We are talking about the adventures of Batman and Robin.
Hell yes.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, and write a review. It'll get you a shout-out and our undying love and affection.
Yeah, that's very true. But in the meantime, don't worry. We'll be back next week. You can hear more stories about SUV flipping and NCIS fanfic and all that great stuff. But in the meantime, if you can't wait for more, you can always leave us feedback on tadpog.com or just go and visit. We've got some back episodes there. We've been doing this. We're We're so grizzled veterans that we actually have back episodes that you can listen to now.
That feels good to say.
Oh, man.
That feels good to say.
Getting too old for this shit. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. Our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found in the show notes.
Sorry about all my angst this episode, guys. So I'll see you next time.
Gibbs motioned for Abby to come over to him. She began to cry harder and shook her head while hoping her bed would swallow her up. Abby, if I have to come get you, I am going to take my belt off again and use it. Abby slowly got up and stood in front of her father. Gibbs put her over his knee and swatted her backside. When he had finished, he sat her on his lap and rubbed her back until she had stopped crying. As he kissed the top of her head and whispered, "I love you, Abs," he started to chuckle.